Welcome back. This is Zoe returning with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated May 20th, 2015. We'll continue in the local section now with an article titled "Ex-Water Director Feels City Mistreated Him" by Maria Nagel. Given the option of resigning or being fired, Patrick Ryan, Bloomington's water director for about a week, chose to leave. "I wasn't willing to work for anyone who could toss me out after only 4 days," said Ryan. "I was so heartbroken and crestfallen that somebody could treat me this way." On May 7th, 2 days after being placed on paid administrative leave while the city conducted an investigation into allegations of potential misconduct and violation of city discrimination and harassment policies, Ryan, who was hired April 27th, submitted his resignation. City officials have not yet provided any specific details about the allegations because it is a personnel issue. But Ryan said he thought his remarks to some Bloomington employees during his first couple of days on the job were taken out of context. "It may be I made my fellow employees uneasy by being too friendly," he said. It was not the first time an employer has asked Ryan to quit or be fired. Through Freedom of Information Act requests sent to 3 Chicago-area municipalities that employed Ryan, the Pantograph learned his resignation 10 years ago as Lake in the Hills Public Works Director came after Edwin Plaza, village president at the time, removed him. Ryan was employed by the village from December 18th of 2000 until September 22nd of 2005. Documents provided through the FOIA request showed Ryan had received verbal or written reprimands from village administrator Gerald Sagona from October 2001 through August 2005, critical of his work performance. Ryan said he was asked to sever his employment after he filed, at the request of several subordinates, a formal complaint alleging harassment by Sagona, who did not respond to a request for comment. "I was told by the mayor that my contract was not going to be renewed because I showed poor professional judgment," said Ryan. The village agreed to pay Ryan 3 months' salary, amounting to $24,800, and to respond to any reference about his employment by only providing his dates of employment and when he resigned. Ryan went on to work for Berwyn as Public Works Director and then Homewood as Assistant Public Works Director. He was working for his family's construction business in Lombard, a western Chicago suburb, when Bloomington hired him to replace former water director Craig Cummings, who left in June 2014 for a job in Texas. Ryan said he did not receive any severance pay from Bloomington, nor was he reimbursed for moving expenses. Unit 5 to Expand Computer Use This Fall by Derek Bai. Students in 3 more grades at McLean County Unit 5 schools will receive their own laptop computers this fall, pending board approval. Sophomores, juniors, and seniors at Normal Community and Normal Community West high schools will join the district's one device to one student, one-to-one effort if the Board of Education approves laptop purchases Wednesday, said business manager Marty Hickman. Unit 5 and other districts have embraced one-to-one, which allows their teachers to use more computer and internet-based resources in the classroom and for homework assignments. Under a purchase agreement with Dell, the district would pay $1.8 million for 3,750 laptops over the next 4 years. Students will choose between a $100 per year rent-to-own laptop and bringing in their own device. Students will be able to bring in any device with a screen bigger than 9.7 inches, measured diagonally. Wireless internet capabilities, a keyboard, and support for a web browser. Such devices include laptops and some tablets. Junior high school students with rent-to-own laptops will be encouraged to use them for the bring-your-own-device option once they hit high school, Hickman said. Expanding one-to-one will bring new opportunities to NCHS and NCWHS classrooms and help the district save money by eliminating computer labs and portable carts in future years. The purchase agreement also includes $79,000 for 66 desktop computers to be used for Project Lead the Way engineering classes, which require computers with better processing power and memory than laptops. The board also is expected to discuss two controversial issues: the previously approved transfer of Ryan Budinsky, one of two band directors at NCWHS, to succeed retiring orchestra director Diane Turek, and an updated plan to eliminate class rank at both high schools. The board will meet at 7 p.m. at Chittix Junior High School, 300 South Walnut Street, Normal. Babbitt's Books Sold will reopen in Uptown. By Mary Ann Ford. Babbitt's Books has been sold and will reopen after all. Brian Simpson, who opened the Uptown bookstore 25 years ago and planned to close it in June, got an offer from Seth Wheeler just before my 90% off sale, he said. It's almost a turnkey sale. The only thing I wanted was my electric snow shovel. Wheeler got the remaining in-store stock as well as books that are in storage. He also secured a lease from the building owner. I purchased Babbitt's Books out of a desire to see a locally owned and independent bookseller remain in Uptown Normal, Wheeler said. Babbitt's Books will continue to operate under the same name, in the same location, and under a largely similar business model for the immediate future. He's in the midst of doing an inventory of the stock and going through books in storage. He did not have a date for reopening. Besides finding a new owner for the store, Simpson also found a home for Babbitt's resident cat, Babette. She went home with my manager, Dilith Serrano, he said. While Babette's transition was a little rough at first, Simpson said, she's adjusted, has windows to watch the birds, and likes being able to roam through a house. Simpson said selling the bookstore was what I would have preferred all along. It's really nice to have it go to a younger guy. Simpson said Wheeler, who has his doctorate in history, is at about the same stage in his life as he was when he started the store. Degrees they couldn't do anything with, but still needing a job to make money. Simpson sees a great future for the bookstore at 119 East Beaufort Street. It's in a high-traffic area, and there's a new hotel going up that will bring more people, he said, adding out-of-towners were always his best source of income at the store. Meanwhile, Simpson said he is adjusting to his newfound freedom, going to his art studio a few times. He starts teaching art classes at the McLean County Arts Center later this month. Save a Lot to Build New Store in Clinton. By Kevin Barlow. The owner of the Clinton Save-A-Lot plans to move the store to a new building this fall. Dave Jackson said the 19,000-square-foot building will be built at 205 East Washington Street, just a few blocks from the current store at 302 North Center Street. We have outgrown our current store, and this store will be about 60% bigger, he said. Save-A-Lot opened in June 1999 in a building constructed in 1908. It is unusual for a town the size of Clinton to get a brand new Save-A-Lot of this size, but it is customer-driven, as our sales continue to grow and we have outgrown our old store, he said. Clinton is one of the smaller towns to have a Save-A-Lot, and with this new store, we will have one of the larger Save-A-Lot stores in the country. Construction on the $1.3 million building should begin next month, and the facility should be open by late fall, Jackson said. Plans to move began about 4 years ago and recently were finalized. The Clinton City Council will consider a $638,500 tax increment financing agreement next month that will offer assistance with the price of land, architectural design, construction of the parking lot, site prep, and mortgage interest, said City Administrator Tim Folliwell. This will help our downtown, Folliwell said. Even though we have a Save-A-Lot and it's only two blocks from downtown, this will be a new building, a larger building, and a more attractive building, and it will be within one block of downtown. The store employs about 30 people. Another 10 employees may be added, Jackson said. The reason we have to expand is because of the tremendous work of our staff, he said. They have always done a great job for me, and it's because of them we have this opportunity. Jackson said the new store will have 400 to 500 solar panels on the roof, producing about one-third of the energy for the building. We are very excited about this part of the plan for several reasons, including the fact that we believe this will save us money and we can pass that savings along to our customers, he said. Crime Stoppers seeks man wanted on 5 felony charges. Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs the public's help in finding a person who is being sought for arrest to answer to 5 felony charges. Gus Henson, 35, is 6'1" and weighs 240 pounds. He has black hair and brown eyes. He has medium brown skin and was last seen with short hair and scruffy facial hair. His last known address was in Normal, Illinois. He is wanted for 1 count of manufacture or delivery of cannabis, 1 count of possession of a narcotic in a school or park, 1 count of manufacture or delivery of a narcotic, 1 count of manufacture or delivery of cocaine in a school or park, and 1 count of manufacture or delivery of cocaine. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. Call 309-828-1111. Should Millionaires Pay Higher Taxes? By Kurt Erickson. House Speaker Michael Madigan is moving forward with a plan to ask voters whether they think Illinois millionaires should be taxed at a higher rate. In action Wednesday, the House Revenue Committee voted 8-5 in favor of placing a constitutional amendment on the November 2016 general election ballot, asking voters if they agree with the idea. No Republicans supported the measure. It is not clear when Madigan will ask the full House to vote on the amendment as the General Assembly inches toward its May 31st scheduled adjournment date. The measure being pushed for the second year in a row by the Chicago Democrat would include an extra 3% tax surcharge on all income over $1 million. The proceeds, estimated at $1 billion, would go towards schools. The money would go to fund public education on a per capita basis, House Majority Leader Barbara Flynn Curry told members of the panel. Curry said people believe it is fair for people who earn more money to pay more in taxes. The measure is supported by labor unions and school management organizations. But business groups oppose the measure, saying it could drive business owners out of state. This is really a tax on success, said Todd Mach, executive director of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce. We think that tax migration is going to be a very big issue. He pointed to a study of the effects of a similar law enacted in New Jersey, showing that 18,000 taxpayers affected by the change would leave the state a decade after its 2004 enactment, costing an estimated $2.4 billion in annual income. Curry said people base their decisions to move on other factors, including weather and family. Greg Bass, CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association, said the state's revenue problems should be addressed with a broader overhaul of state laws. Republicans questioned why Democrats needed to approve the measure now, since the deadline to place it on the November 2016 ballot is still a year away. A similar measure stalled last year after 2 Democratic members balked at the proposal, leaving it short of the necessary votes for passage. Madigan then successfully pushed for the placement of a non-binding referendum on the 2014 ballot asking the same question. It received support from 64% of the voters. Editorial. Ride of Silence provides several lessons. With all the work on bike master plans, sharrows on streets, street sign icons, and a push toward more cycling for fun and fitness, something else hasn't gotten the same amount of consistent attention. Safety. That will be at the forefront tonight with the 10th annual McLean County Ride of Silence that starts at 6:45 p.m. on the east side of the McLean County Museum of History, 200 North Main Street in downtown Bloomington. The ride honors bicyclists killed in the last year while focusing on how bicyclists and motorists can safely share the road. Both must follow the rules of the road. Motorists must give a 3-foot berth to cyclists they are passing, and cyclists must follow the same traffic rules that apply to drivers. But safety for bicyclists hasn't gotten the same kind of attention as the Start Seeing Motorcycles campaign that reminds motorists to look out for motorcyclists. Whether they are motorized or powered by people, two-wheeled vehicles have just one headlight, not two, one brake light, not two, and are more easily lost in blind spots. Bicyclists, like motorcyclists, must signal their intent to turn. Most of us learned those arm signals while still in grade school. Few of us use them when we're on a family pleasure ride. Cyclists should wear properly fitted helmets, assume motorists do not see them, and wear brightly colored and/or reflective clothing. Tonight's ride is part of a worldwide event. A promotional statement issued by sponsors McLean County Wheelers and Bike Blono notes the U.S. Census Bureau reports a 60% increase in bicycle commuting in the last decade, and indeed, many public works projects and private business improvements include bike racks to promote ridership. In larger cities where ridership is more common, businesses offer the chance for riders to grab a quick shower and change clothes before starting the workday. At tonight's event, mayors from both communities will speak before riders pedal out at 7 p.m. Riders stay silent throughout the police-escorted ride that from Main Street to Beaufort, then east on Vernon to Constitution Train, and north on the trail, ending at Uptown Circle. If you want to ride, a helmet is required. Last year's ride drew about 200 people. Events focused on safety can be fun. Tonight's ride offers a lesson in safety, a chance to share memories, and an opportunity for recreational riding with like-minded people. Whether you are a rider or a driver, we encourage you to heed the lessons that can save a life. Now for today's obituaries. William Parkerson. William Bill Floyd Parkerson, 83, of Bloomington, passed away at 2:55 a.m. Saturday at Heartland Healthcare, Normal. Bill's service will be at 10 a.m. Friday at Calvert and Metzler Memorial Home, Bloomington, with the Reverend Dale Miller officiating. Following the service, entombment will be at East Lawn Mausoleum, Bloomington. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday at the funeral home. Memorials may be mailed to the National Parkinson Foundation Gift Processing Center, P.O. Box 5018, Hagerstown, MD 21741-5018. Condolences may be made at www.calvertmemorial.com. Stephen Dawson. Stephen W. Dawson, 62, Clinton, passed away at 6:45 p.m. May 13, 2015, from injuries sustained in a single car accident on Burbeck Road in DeWitt County. Visitation will be from 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday at Calvert Funeral Home, Clinton, with cremation rites to be accorded following. Memorials may be made to the American Cancer Society or Second Chance Pet Adoption. The family has entrusted Calvert Funeral Home, Clinton, with arrangements. Graveside service will be at 11 a.m. Saturday at Memorial Park Cemetery, Clinton. Condolences may be made at www.calvertmemorial.com. Steve Busick. Vachel Steve Busick, 78, of Huachuca City, Arizona, and formerly of Bloomington and Carlock, died at 6:16 p.m. May 13, 2015, at his home. His funeral will be at noon Thursday at Carmody Flynn Funeral Home, Bloomington, with his niece, the Reverend Janet Busick Jones, officiating. Burial will be in St. Joseph's Cemetery, Bloomington. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the service Thursday at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Valor Hospice, 1048 East Frye Boulevard, Sierra Vista, Arizona, 85635, or St. Jude Midwest Affiliate. To express condolences, please visit www.carmodyflynn.com. Shirley Brockwell. Shirley Faye Brockwell, 86, of Flanagan, died at 10.05 p.m. Monday at her home in Flanagan. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday at Calvert Johnson and Froelich Memorial Home, Flanagan. Her funeral will be at 11 a.m. Friday at St. John's Lutheran Church, Flanagan, with an hour prior visitation at the church. The Reverend Mark Knapp will officiate. Burial will follow at Center Cemetery, Flanagan. Memorials may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church or Flanagan Ambulance Service. Condolences may be made to www.calvertmemorial.com. Selma Bachtold. Selma Bachtold, 100, of Strawn, passed away at 7:26 a.m. Tuesday at Woodridge Supportive Living, Pontiac. Her funeral will be at 11 a.m. Friday at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Forest. The Reverend Corrine Blissard will officiate. Burial will be in South Graceland Cemetery, Fairbury. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to service Friday at the church. Duffy Pills Memorial Home, Fairbury, is in charge of arrangements. Memorials may be made to St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Forest, or Woodridge Supportive Living, Pontiac. Condolences and tributes may be made to the family at www.duffypillsmemorialhome.com. Juanita Pointer. Juanita F. Pointer, 93, of Weslaco, Texas, formerly of Bloomington, died April 13, 2015, in Weslaco. Memorial service, 3 p.m. Sunday at First Baptist Church in Bloomington. Visitation, 2:30 p.m. Sunday at the church. Burial, Tuesday at Park Hill Cemetery, Bloomington. Memorials, OSF St. Joseph Foundation, Bloomington, First Baptist Church, Bloomington, or a charity of the donor's choice. John Weber. John A. Weber, 72, of Roanoke, passed away at 4:15 p.m. Monday at the OSF Richard Owens Hospice Home in Peoria. A funeral mass will be at 10 a.m. Friday at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Roanoke. The Reverend Charles Beebe will officiate. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday at Knapp Johnson Harris Funeral Home in Roanoke, with a prayer service at 3:45 p.m. prior to visitation at the funeral home. Burial will be in Roanoke Township Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be given to the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation or the Roanoke Park. Condolences may be sent to the family at knappjohnsonharris.com. Frank Roberts. Frank H. Roberts, 77, of El Paso, died at 8:48 p.m. Friday at his residence. Funeral, 11 a.m. Thursday at Roostman Harris Funeral Home, El Paso. The Reverend Dr. Tim Smith will officiate. Burial, Evergreen Cemetery, El Paso. Visitation, 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday at the funeral home. Memorials to his family. Tributes and condolences may be sent to his family at www.roostmanharrisfuneralhome.com. Donna Fingerl. Donna L. Fingerl, 85, of Cape Coral, Florida, formerly of Bloomington and Pontiac, died at 9:05 a.m., May 11, 2015, at Hope Hospice, Cape Coral, Florida. Service, 10 a.m. Thursday at Calvert and Metzler Memorial Home, Bloomington. The Reverend Mary K. Henson will officiate. Burial, East Lawn Cemetery, Bloomington. Visitation, 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday at the Memorial Home. Memorials, American Cancer Society, Memorials may be mailed to her daughter, Susan Mackinson, 420 East Howard Street, Pontiac, Illinois, 61764. Please view the obituary and share your condolences and memories at www.calvertmemorial.com. David Benson. David Allen Benson, 31, of Gridley, passed away at 1:55 p.m. Monday at his home. His funeral will be at 10:30 a.m. Friday at Roosman Harris Funeral Home in El Paso. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday at the funeral home. Burial will be in Gridley Cemetery. Memorials may be made to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Tributes and condolences may be made at www.roostmanharrisfuneralhome.com. Betty Moore. Betty L. Moore, 85, of Bloomington, passed away Friday, May 15, 2015, at Heartland Healthcare Center, Normal. A celebration of life will be at 11 a.m., June 20th, at St. John's Lutheran Church, Bloomington, where she will be interred at the columbarium. Family will greet friends at 10 a.m., June 20th, at the church. The Reverend Christine McNeil will officiate. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the St. John's Lutheran Church, Bloomington Barbershop Chapter, Sound of Illinois Chorus, or St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Beck Memorial Home, Bloomington, is in charge of arrangements. Austin Noble. Austin C. Noble, 25, of East Peoria, passed away Sunday, May 17, 2015, at his home. A time to celebrate Austin's life will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday at Mason Funeral Home in Germantown Hills. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that memorials in Austin's name may be considered to stop soldier suicide. Donations can be made at www.stopsoldiersuicide.org. Notes of condolences may be sent using www.peoriafuneral.com. This has been Zoe with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated May 20th, 2015. I look forward to reading with you again soon.